Welcome to Servant Leadership Institute podcast, a production of the Servant Leadership Institute in Carlsbad, California. We are an organization where education meets action. Our mission is to inspire and equip the people we influence. The broadcast today features Art Barter, founder and CEO of the Servant Leadership Institute. Art is also owner and CEO of Datron World Communications, a radio communications manufacturer. Art has been operating his companies with servant leadership principles since 2004. He believes servant leadership was the key that allowed Datron to grow from a $10 million company to a $200 million company in just 6 years. As servant leaders, the employees of Datron World Communications have contributed over $15 million to charitable organizations all over the world. Art, good morning.
Good morning, Carol. How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Good.
Doing well. Thank
good.
You.
Well, yesterday I got to participate in something that is not unique to Datron, but I do think that there are certain aspects of it that are unique to a servant-led organization. And that is, you called your entire company together for what we call the monthly celebration. And that's, tell me about the monthly celebration.
Well, you know, our first value that we have is our families come first. And mm-hmm. So we consider everybody within the Datron family of companies, which SLI is one. Datron World Communications, our radio business is another. And then the Barron Center is our third company. We like to get together once a month, talk about the charitable fund request that we received from employees and where that money's gone. So we disclose where the money went. We celebrate birthdays. We show pictures of everyone that has a birthday during the month. And then we all sing happy birthday to them, which is, you know, pretty unique
painful.
In a multicultural and sometimes painful, right? So sometimes in my family we say, oh, thank God my birthday only comes once a year because the singing isn't that great. So we sing happy birthday, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
We introduce new employees, anyone who's joined us. And then once a quarter, actually once a month, we usually invite one of the senior leaders to come in and just talk a little bit about what's going on in the organization. And
mm-hmm.
Yesterday was our quarterly meeting where I sit down and talk about the quarterly results for our first quarter, which ended in January of this year, and go through the results and then talk about things that are going to change in the company, future orders that are coming in, what's going on with the business. And then I just open it up to questions and answer questions for a while.
So when I said unique, what I was really talking about there was the fact that you are very, very open about those financial results. And what I've seen over the years is that even when the results are not good, you still share them.
That's right.
And that's pretty risky, don't you think?
You know it is. It's risky. If you work in a public company, they get disclosed anyway.
Right.
To the shareholders.
Right.
And, 10-Qs get published. And most of the time, you could pass out a 10-Q to your employees and they throw it in the trash like most shareholders do. But, But we like to focus in on what our goals have been, what we tried to do for the quarter, and where we succeeded and where we struggled. And transparency as a leader doesn't come with just, you can be transparent when things are good. You have to be transparent in all things. And that's what we believe in. So we share results, whether they're good or bad. Our employees see the same financial results that my senior team and my management team see every quarter. They get to see exactly what we see. And so we're very open. We've been that way since day one. And I think what we found is, number one, people respect us for doing that. But they also feel like when we go from challenges to succeeding, people feel like they've been part of that success. And it wasn't just a group of senior leaders up in a corner office that made that happen. They're part of it, and I helped them understand their impact they have on the business. So in our company, for those of you that don't know, Datron World Communications designs and manufactures radio equipment for the military tactical world for international markets. And So we have manufacturing operations in our company in Vista.
Yes.
And so gross margin and cost of manufacturing is very important, and that's where we can make a few extra points of margin. It can make a great, great big difference to our bottom line. And so it's exciting. And yesterday we had a great, we have a PIP program. It's a Productivity Improvement Program. And we call it PIP for short. And yeah. Employees get to submit ideas on how they could save costs. And yesterday we had a gentleman from our test group recommend that we do things differently with some of the test equipment we do. And the result of his recommendation and his actions in researching a different way of doing things resulted in a $14,000 annual savings to the company. Well, the PIP program awards 10% of the savings to the employee. So he got a check yesterday for $1,400.
Yeah, not bad.
Which is pretty good. And, and you know, the place gets excited about that. And that's how we share the savings. We make people part of the process, and then we give some of that money back. So, we have to share the results.
Yeah.
Because people, as we've always said, how you get those results is more important than the results themselves. And we talk about how we got those results, good or bad.
So we have people in that audience that are, it is a very multicultural workforce. We have some employees, many employees that are Spanish speaking, usually bilingual, but some, you know, skill level is different.
Mm-hmm.
How do you hope things are communicated? In other words, if they don't really understand, what was your thinking behind that?
I think if people understand where the business is from all aspects, I think they'll take that back to their workstation and they'll ask questions among themselves. And the folks that have a good understanding of English and another foreign language, they'll be able to help that employee understand. And the multicultural aspect, it's really interesting because in servant leadership, we just assume, hey, we want to help people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in other cultures, people are taught that you don't question authority. You just do what you're told. You don't question.
Right.
You just do what you're told.
Yeah.
And so in a multicultural environment, we have to help people understand that it's okay to say, hey, listen, this isn't quite the servant-led way Art's been talking about in the company. Can we talk about this a little bit with their leaders? And that's a very difficult thing for people to do in the U.S., let alone someone who's come from a culture where it's not okay to question authority. And we just want to open the conversation. And we try and create a company where you can go to anyone at any time about anything. You don't have to go up the org chart and go down the org chart. You need something to help the customer, go get it. And you can talk to anybody you want to. How many people actually do that? You know, that's another story. And
yeah,
you've been on
yeah.
that side of the fence. And
yeah.
But we always want to be open and honest. But helping people understand, talk about it in the meeting, and those that understand will then go and help people outside the meeting when they have questions and talk about, hey, remember Art was talking about this, and here's what he meant by that. And so people start talking.
What I noticed too is that over the years, you have gone from giving minute detail, you know, print so small that you'd have to get closer to the screen to be able to read it, to a one sheet. Here are, you know, maybe five key things, the revenue, comparing forecast to actuals,
mm-hmm.
the gross margin, those kinds of things, and not going deeply into all the layers of detail.
That's true. If you put five or six pages of financial data in front of people,
right?
You know, I have a hard enough time explaining understanding a balance
yeah.
sheet. Okay, now you've got to explain it to a multicultural environment.
Right.
It's just not going to work. So what we do is, you know, our target is revenue. How did we do with customers in delivering products when they want it? How do we do in the cost of putting that together? So what's our gross margin on that? We talk about what our total operating expenses were. And so when the business is growing, you know, those operating expenses can increase a little bit. When the business is struggling, we have to hold the line. And so we show what the total operating expenses is. So people don't feel like we're just focusing on manufacturing costs. We're focusing on all costs and the operating profit. And what we do there is we focus on operating profit because there's all kinds of other corporate charges and corporate this and interest and stuff. That's not important to them. What I like to focus in on is, what were you responsible for? You were responsible for shipping product, doing it in a way that you make money. We spent some money for R&D and sales and marketing. What did you make at the operating profit level? And that's what we focus on. Mm-hmm. And then we also share what our new orders are, how many new orders we received for the quarter compared to our forecast, what our backlog is, how many orders we have on the books that we haven't shipped yet,
yeah.
And look at backlog.
That's really important to people.
And then, you know, the big thing in our private companies is cash. Cash is king in a private company. So we tell them how much cash we have in the bank. Not what the cash flow was generated by accountants, but how much money do we have in the bank today? I don't put a cash flow statement in front of them because I can't explain a cash flow statement with all, what the accountants do with cash flow. And so we tell them how much money we have in the bank. And I remember a man earlier in my career taught me about the two-bag system. Here's all the money that comes in, and here's all the money that goes out. How much money do you have left over? And, you know, he makes it very simple. And
right.
So we keep it simple and just tell people this is what we have in the bank. And then we, since we're a manufacturing company, we also share the amount of money we have invested in inventory, because that's the cash that's sitting on the books that once we turn it into a product and ship it, we're going to get that money back. And so we share what our inventory level is. And that's what we share. And it's a one page. I make sure people understand what the definitions are. I ask them if they have questions, what they think. And I'll answer any question that they will ask me. And if I don't know, I say, you know what, guys, I don't know. But I'll let you know next quarter what I find out.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Couple of thoughts come to my mind. One is, you know, you talked about the backlog. And I can remember that what is really important to our associates that are actually building the product is how many work orders are they going to get? And that's how they judge how things are going, is, you know, are they getting this steady flow of job orders?
Mm-hmm.
So that's very important to them. And seeing the backlog number is a way of expressing that. They can say, oh, we have this many million in backlog. And so that's very meaningful, I think, to the folks that are building the product.
It does let them know that there's work that needs to get done.
Yeah.
And so that helps with folks on the floor. They may not have it all on the floor yet.
Right.
To build,
right.
But they know that there's a good amount.
They know it's coming.
They know it's coming, and they know it's there. And that creates some security in their mind that goes,
right.
Hey, at least we have backlog that we have something to work on, and we don't have to wait for another order to come
right.
in.
Right, right.
And so, you're right. It provides a little sense of security.
And the other thing that I think people still struggle with, and I think you'll probably have some comment on this, is you are very serious about answering their questions and soliciting questions from people. And a lot of times there aren't very many questions. But yet you may have the feeling that there really are questions that need to be asked, but people don't want to go there.
Right.
How do you react to that? How do you combat that kind of situation?
Well, we had a great example in yesterday's meeting. We're outsourcing part of our manufacturing process. We do powder coating on some of our metal parts, and we decided that it's best to outsource that. We had it outsourced many years ago, and
mm-hmm.
we brought it in-house, and
that's
now
right.
we're deciding to go the other way.
Yeah.
And when I asked if anybody had any questions, there weren't any questions from the group of employees. And I waited for a minute, and then I made the statement, very simple. I said, if I was in your shoes, and I just heard we were outsourcing a process in manufacturing, I said, I would have a lot of questions. And if I feel appropriate, I'll say, this is the question I would have if I were sitting in your seat. And that will kind of help them go, you know what, it's okay to ask the questions that's really on my mind.
Yeah.
And sometimes you'll get people to open up. Other times you'll get questions later on after the meeting. Or in some instances, we have employees come to me after the meeting and talk to me one-on-one and ask their questions. And so, but I try and prime the pump. I try to get it going and let people know, wow, if I were in your shoes, I would have some questions. And here are the type of questions I would be asking. And that's how I get people to open up.
Yeah. You also do something that's actually pretty cool. At the beginning of every meeting, you ask for a servant leadership story.
That's right.
And that's another, what's the word I'm looking for? Another awkward moment in that people are not, they're still not ready to stand up and share those stories for the most part.
Right.
Except for the, you know, oddball people here and there.
Yeah, well, Carol volunteered a story yesterday, so. But yeah, it's, you know, the power is in the stories.
Yes.
And what we believe is everybody has a servant leadership story they can share. And we'll get, yesterday we had two stories that popped up. And, you know, there's a lot of people who will never tell a story because they're just too intimidated by a
right.
big group. And that's okay. But they will start telling those stories in their smaller groups on the floor. And they'll start saying, hey, well, I listened to Carol's story. I have one simpler to that. And they'll be talking about that during break. And so it's kind of, we get that started and then people start sharing things. And sooner or later, we got more stories than we know what to do with.
Right.
And that's when things are really exciting.
Well, one of the things I was thinking about it yesterday, and I'm wondering, and I don't know if you've tried this before, to encourage them to tell their stories to someone who will then stand up and share it. Because for many people, to stand up and hold a microphone will not, they'll never get there.
They won't. And so, yeah, it share your story with someone who can tell it for you. And then, of course, we have, you know, we used to have, I don't think we have anymore, but we used to have some people who would grab the mic and, you know, 10 minutes later, you go, is there a question anywhere in your comment here? And so you have to manage that a little bit. But getting people to share your story or ask a question, and that's okay with me. I will answer and talk about anything. And most of the time, people are looking at their watch and going, well, Art, just be quiet. But it's important for leaders to answer all the questions and
yes.
not to cut it off just because you have a fixed stop time. Especially when times are challenging, I think you need to tell your people, listen, I'm here to answer your questions. I will stay here as long as it takes to answer every question we have in the room. And I remember many years ago when we had to do our first reduction, a good size reduction, because some of the business had not come through. We sat in a room with, I think, about 300 to 350 employees, and I talked all afternoon. And I didn't want them to go home and worry about things and not ask the questions that were on their minds and on their hearts. And I think that's real important for leaders. If they want to invest in their people, then answer their questions and stay there until all the questions are answered. And that will buy you more credibility when you're trying to change as a leader than anything else. If you just sit and listen and answer the questions and answer them truthfully. Don't give them the standard marketing response or the standard legal response, but answer their questions honestly and openly. And when you don't know, tell people you don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to have the mindset that you are there communicating with people as if you were sitting down having a cup of coffee with them. You can't speak like, you know, a Harvard PhD and have everybody understand what's going on. You know, it becomes like a shield for you.
The big piece of advice I can give leaders who present to their employees is limit your slides. Limit the amount of data that you put in your slides and talk to the employees. Spend most of your time talking to them instead of pointing out things on a slide. And that, like I said, that will get you more credibility faster than anything else I know when you're just honest and open with people. And don't, Carol mentioned it earlier, don't try and put a lot of information on a slide where people can't read it.
Yeah.
That doesn't help anybody, and it doesn't help your credibility as a leader either. So
yeah.
Serve the people, give them what they want, and meet them where they are.
Yeah.
And that's really what it's all about.
Because regardless of what you, unfortunately, what you do or say, there's always going to be naysayers in the crowd. There's always going to be people that don't receive correctly the message that you're giving.
Mm-hmm.
But I think by giving that message, you're doing everything you can possibly do to combat that misinformation, the right. rumor mill, all those things that get started. Because I think you'll agree with me that people love to go to the negative side.
That's where leaders spend most of the time, is in challenges.
Yeah.
And that's where we like to go and talk and spend some time on the positive side. And you'll really be surprised what that does for you.
Yeah. So, you know, Datron has gone through some difficult times over the last few years. And in that environment now with the employees, I still sense a certain, they've got really good news in front of them. It's on the screen. You told them yesterday, you know, get ready because things are really going to be picking up business-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Huge increase in the amount of backlog that they're going to have. I still sense a sort of a spirit of, well, I don't want to get too excited because, you know, we've been in a hard place.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not ready to leave that hard place, that mourning period over that hard time. They're not ready to leave that yet completely.
Right.
Is that the sense you get?
You know, as a leader, when you're up talking with people and you know, I worked for Disney for 7, 8, 9 years, something like that, early in my career. And the best thing I learned at Disney was how to read people.
Mm.
And as employees, we're allowed to go out in the park and watch people. And
yeah.
I did that all the time at lunchtime and just watched people. And so I have a pretty good sense by watching people and their reactions about who's engaged with what I'm saying and who's just having a nice break and drinking some coffee.
Yeah.
Right? And so, when you go through tough times, and you try and be the cheerleader and keep things positive, and when things don't happen the way you said they were going to happen, which happens all the time with leaders.
Sure.
No one's perfect in predicting the future.
Right.
You have to keep a positive attitude, but people become a little bit suspect of what they're being told because they've heard it before. And in our business, we do business in countries all around the world, in foreign countries, and every country has a different process, every one of them. And we do business in Egypt, and that is one of the most difficult places to do business anywhere else in the world.
Yeah.
And the process there is so involved that we can say we're going to get an order next month, and it won't come in for 12 months.
Right.
And you have to be able to talk about that and tell people, hey, guys, this is what we do. This is our business. And help them understand the business rather than just say, well, it pushed off to the right, and I don't know what's going to come in, so let's talk about something else. Help them understand the business and help them understand why it's so difficult in some of the places we do business and talk about it. But then once you have a success and that order does come in, then share with them what the customer is doing with that product.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them a story about the customer. But when you're going through tough times and everybody's delaying procurements around the world, which goes on when economic times get tough, everybody starts delaying buying equipment and they go in repair mode. And that happens in our business. And you just have to keep a positive face and then let people know, hey, this is what I like to say, Carol, is this is the business we've chosen. This is the business that we're in.
I agree.
And these are the challenges that we have. And I'll help you understand all the challenges we're having so you can understand exactly what's going on. But trying to get that success back is sometimes difficult. And the other thing I found is when you change people through that process and you get some new people on board, that new team, because it's now made up of people that have been with the company for a while and some new people when things pick up, that new team needs to have their own successes. And so talking about the old successes, you need to help that new team get some successes and celebrate together. And the more they're able to do that, that will help turn around just sitting back going, can I believe Art this time? Is it really going to happen? Or is he just, talking about things? So there's a couple things you can do, and we could spend all afternoon talking about how you can deal with that. But the thing I like about being in the position of presenting is I get to look everybody in the eye.
Yeah.
And I get to see whether they're looking down at the table or got their chin in their hands or whether they're doing stuff on their cell phone. And that helps me also see where the engagement is.
Uh-huh.
Because one of the things we want to improve is employee engagement.
Yeah.
And so it's a very silent feedback to me on where I need to do some more work and where I need to invest more of my time in helping people.
Gosh, that is great advice, I think, for leaders, no matter at what level of leadership you're at. I'm hearing you say that, no matter what, your message has to be repeated over and over and over again. And you do have to keep this optimistic demeanor because you're being looked at constantly.
All the time. So in our world, it's really important to let people know this is our purpose. We want to positively impact the lives of other people today and in the future. So it isn't just about selling radios. We want to sell radios that are going to last.
Right.
We're going to give them capability to upgrade their radios in the future when they have different mission requirements. So we want to do it today and in the future. So that means we have to be focused on customers after we make the sale. And you have to talk about that all the time. You have to share that all the time. You have to put it on your walls. You have to talk about it. And your leaders that are listening out there, just don't put a plaque on the wall and say, I've done my job. That's just reinforcement of you telling them what's going on. That helps you reinforce the message and reminds you every time you see that plaque, say something to somebody that day. And remind them about why you do what you do and the decisions you make. And that's why I love getting in front of people every quarter and talking about results, because I don't know what questions are going to be asked. And I love hearing what's on their mind. And that helps me become a better leader.
Yeah.
And better at serving them and helping them.
Yeah. Well, that was really insightful and great information today, Art. Thanks. Anything you'd like to say in conclusion to our conversation today?
For leaders of organizations, of departments, of smaller, it doesn't matter how many people you're responsible for, be honest with them. And when you don't know, say you don't know. Too many leaders try and talk about things that they don't know about, and the only person you're fooling is the person in the mirror. That's the only person you're fooling, because people know. So be honest with them. And tell them very simply, you know what? I don't know, but I'll find out and I'll get back with you. And live with that day in and day out. Serve them. Listen to understand. And be courageous in going off and sharing everything you know about the business, because that's how others are going to get better. Share everything you know about your business with others. And then sit back and inspire and equip them. And you'll be amazed at the results you get. You really will.
In future podcasts, we plan to share more conversations with Art, as well as other practitioners of servant leadership. If you're intrigued by what you've heard, you can find out more about the Servant Leadership Institute and the services we offer at www.servantleadershipinstitute.com. And we want to hear about your servant leadership experiences. So send us an email at info@servantleadershipinstitute.com.